I'd like to call this organizational meeting together, please. If you'd stand and join me in a pledge of allegiance to the flag. I'll now take roll call. Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Oh, present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson has asked to be excused. We have 13 members present. The first order of business this evening is the election of the temporary chair, and I will now open the floor for nominations. Mr. Lane?
I'd move Peter Stein as temporary chair.
Is there a second? Mr. Dennis?
I would second that.
Thank you. I will now call for a vote to elect Mr. Stein as temporary chair. All those in favor, signify with aye, please. Any opposed? Carried. Mr. Stein, would you please step up to the bench?
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to have this job. This is the beginning of 2016. My life really doesn't start till after this meeting, so let's get going. So I would like to open the floor for nominations for the chair. Is there anyone who wishes to make a nomination? Jim Dennis?
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Yes, I would like to do a nomination, and I am going to be nominating Michael Lane as the chair of the legislature for 2016, but allow me to say a few words. Leaders have very similar characteristics when you look at them, either on the national level or the local level, government leaders, they have characteristics that everyone seems to have who are good leaders. They're authentic in every case. They're able to communicate with not only fellow legislators but the public. They're competent in what they do. They demonstrate their honesty over and over again, for the most part, all of them who are really excellent. And I think one of the biggest issues of any leader is the commitment to the government that they happen to be working for, the organization they happen to be working for. And I've had the experience of dealing with many excellent leaders in Tompkins County over my time here, not only on this legislature, Martha Robertson, Tim Joseph, Mike Caplay-Kalaire, fellow legislators, the mayor of the city of Ithaca, many mayors of the city of Ithaca, John Guttenberger, Bill Shaw, Savante Myrick, and fellow legislators here. And I think what Mike has demonstrated is a commitment to Tompkins County that I don't think I don't want to say that. I think Mike has demonstrated an extreme commitment to Tompkins County. He was a mayor in the village of Dryden. He was a former legislator, lost an election, recovered, came back, and he has been the chair for a number of years. And I've had the privilege and pleasure of being the vice chair for the last couple of years, and being involved in leadership meetings with the county administrator and Mike. And even at my advanced age, I've been able to learn from both of them. I think it's a special day that I can nominate Mike, and I think the legislature will be well served to have him as the chair again for 2016.
Is there a second? Dave McKenna.
Yeah, I will second that, and I would also reiterate what Jim has said. Mike has done a really fine job for the last year, and I think he deserves to continue in that position and lead us in one direction or another, whichever he chooses. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been duly nominated. Is there somebody else that someone on the floor wishes to nominate for this position? Seeing none, I'll rule that the nominations are closed. Oh, I asked for a motion. Sorry. I asked for a motion to close nominations. Thank you. And second, yes, thank you. All those in favor of closing nominations, please raise their hand. Opposed? That carries unanimously. So I would like now to go ahead and vote on our motion. The motion to elect Mike Lane as the chair of the legislature in the year 2016. All those in favor, please raise their hands. All those opposed? I believe we vote for you. How much is that? That's 14 votes. 13 votes. Okay. I count 13.
13 tonight.
The lucky number. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Congratulations.
Thanks again to Peter Stein for chairing our meeting to start out with. Thanks to all of you. Jim Dennis, thank you for those very kind words. I hope I can live up to the things that you said. I try every day, do my best. And Dave, thank you for seconding my nomination. Thanks to all of you for voting for me. Thanks to the people of my district, the Dryden-Freeville area in the town of Dryden, who, as Jim noted, actually, after term limiting me one time, actually decided to put me back here, and I am very much appreciative to them. We'll be probably having more substantial comments at our next meeting, but at this point, I'd like to move ahead with the next order of business, which is the election of a vice chair of the legislature. And I would open the floor to nominations for vice chair for 2016. Will Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. It is a pleasure to have the opportunity to nominate my good friend and colleague Dan Klein for vice chair of this august body. As you know, Dan has been with us only 2 years, but in that time I have been amazed at what he has done. He served on five different of our committees. He this year is chair of the Government Operations Committee. He's been on TCAT. And as most are aware, his experience in government goes much, much deeper. He was on the Danby Town Board for 6 years, and for four of those years served as the deputy supervisor, which I think really would gave him the kind of experience that one needs in terms of being our vice chair. Also, while in Danby, he played a pivotal role in getting that community to pass the first moratorium on hydrofracking. And I think it's a testament to Dan's energy that happened. Dan has lived in our community for 25 years. Like many people, he came here to go to Cornell, where he was studying plant science, and he the allure of Tompkins County encouraged him to stay, and he's made this his home. Before coming onto this board, he worked in youth services, and then more recently, he was the person who coordinated the beautification program that has resulted in just wonderful plantings around our community, and had a great bevy of volunteers making that happen. So I actually got to know Dan first as a community activist around planning issues. And I came many years ago, and even at that time, I was struck at Dan's intelligence and the energy that he brought to everything he does. Dan is not one of the big talkers in this body, and I appreciate that, actually, because we have a lot of people that do speak. But when Dan does say something, people generally listen, because he's almost always on point and makes very, very good arguments. And he's a really, in my experience, a really, really good listener. Finally, a few things that probably are not all that germane, but I just feel I need to mention. Dan is a wonderfully skilled amateur baker. If you ever have a chance to enjoy some of Dan's baked goods, go for it. He is a stilt walker, which is, again, not something we do a lot, though. Seems like you walk on eggshells sometimes, but stilt walking, I don't know. And he's the only person, to my knowledge, ever to use the privilege of the floor to deliver a speech on the Grateful Dead and their relation to our county. And I discovered that you can find that speech is up on YouTube, so if you ever want to see it. Anyway, it's a pleasure to nominate Dan for vice chair.
Thank you, Will. Is there a second? Dooley Kiefer.
Yes, well, I think it's a good thing to welcome a younger generation to leadership. And that's how I view Dan. And you have already alluded to his sense of humor, which I think is an important attribute for this sometimes too serious group. And I very much appreciate the respectful manner that Dan treats everyone with. So I'm happy to nominate or second his nomination.
Thank you. Are there other nominations for the position of vice chair? Seeing none, I'll ask for a motion to close nominations. Glenn Morey, is there a second? Seconded by Anna Kellis. All those in favor of closing nominations, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. We'll proceed to a vote for vice chair on the election of Dan Klein as the vice chair for 2016. All those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed? That's unanimous. Congratulations, Dan. Dan, would you like to say something?
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I just want to do a good job for the residents of Tompkins County and for the residents of my district, Caroline and Danby, and for all the employees that work for Tompkins County, and also for my fellow colleague here in the legislature. I've got some standards in mind of what I think a person in this position should be like and should be doing, and I'm going to try to live up to my own standards. I hope I can live up to your standards as well, and thanks for this vote of confidence today.
Thanks. I would like to say that I've had the honor of serving the past 2 years as chair with Jim Dennis as the vice chair. And Jim has been a terrific vice chair. He has been there to help me when I needed help. He's been there at regular meetings with our county administrator to help us discuss various issues that we then talked with the other members about. He helped when we were setting up committees. Jim is, I don't think there's anybody in town that knows more people and how things work more than Jim does for all the years he's been associated with city and county government. Jim decided this year not to put his name forward as vice chair, and we honor that. Jim's not going anywhere. He'll be a part of this legislature, and we'll be doing good things. So, Jim, thank you.
We should laugh.
Thank you, Mike.
I will just point out that this is the first meeting of 2016. This is, I believe, is the 241st year of our Republic of the United States of America. And the fact that we can have local government meetings like this is a tribute to the people who have founded our government and those who have followed through and protected it all of those years. I don't think there's any stronger commitment to our democracy than local government. It's by the people that serve for long hours for not a lot of money because of the love of doing it and for the object of serving the various people in their constituencies and throughout their municipality. It's an honorable thing to do, and I encourage more and more people to become a part of it. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I don't believe we have an executive session tonight, do we, John or Joe? So we'll shorten the meeting a little bit for that. Let's move to a privilege of the floor for the public. This is the opportunity that folks that would like to speak to us for up to 3 minutes have to step to the microphone. We ask that if you want to speak, that you sign a blue card. And in signing the blue card, you're agreeing to a three-minute time limit, agreeing not to raise your voice, you're agreeing not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. You're agreeing not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After the 3 minutes, you agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. The transferring of time to another person is not permitted. You agree that if you cause a disruption and are asked to leave, you will leave. There is a countdown clock, which will count down to 3 minutes. At the end of that time, there is an audible signal. And if you hear that signal and you're speaking, we ask that you please conclude. I have just one blue card at this point. If anybody else wants to speak, please pass up a card. Paul Mazzarella.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Paul Mazzarella. I'm the Executive Director of Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services, and I live in the city of Ithaca. There are three items on your agenda tonight that involve INHS in one way or another, which I think is the first time ever that the county legislature has had this much activity related to my organization. I'd like to speak briefly about one of those, which is the project at 210 Hancock Street, formerly the Neighborhood Pride Grocery Store. We requested some funding from the Tompkins County Housing Fund for this project, and you'll consider that tonight. I want to point out that this project is, I believe, going to be a transformative project for the city's Northside neighborhood, in that it will provide 67 new units of mixed-income housing and commercial space. We have put together almost all of the financing that we need for this project. We're about 99% there, which is a great feeling. 2 weeks ago, we got word from New York State that the majority of the funding that we need for this project has been approved through the low-income housing tax credit program and several other New York State programs. You may not be aware that the competition for this kind of funding is very intense. We were one of only three projects in all of New York State to get funded in this round of applications, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, I'm sure we're not the only community that has an issue with affordable housing, but it pleases me to know that state officials recognize how severe the problem is here in Tompkins County, and they've agreed to help us address it through funding for this project. one of the most important reasons why New York State would award funding for a project like this is local support for the project. And Tompkins County and the city have done a tremendous job of supporting this and other affordable housing projects. And it really is the reason why we rise above other projects around the state and win these awards. So I would like to congratulate the Tompkins County Legislature on the foresight that you had to create a local housing fund to use your own resources to promote the cause of affordable housing. And I'd like to also congratulate you on your commitment to extending this fund. Recently, you agreed to continue this program and awarded more money. So it's very important to us, the developers for these projects, that there's local support. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Paul. I don't see a municipal official who wants to talk to us tonight. Privilege of the floor for legislators. Anyone like to speak? No hands. We move right along. Dooley? Dooley Kiefer.
Well, every day Garrison Keillor has a brief radio commentary. Writer's Almanac. And today he referred to what happened in 1914 on this day. Henry Ford back then was having trouble keeping workers in his factories. And he decided to do something rather dramatic. He doubled their salary from $2.35 a day to $5 a day. He cut their hours from 9 hours a day to 8 hours a day. And all problems with worker turnover ceased. The company's productivity doubled, and the profits soared. I thought that was a useful tale for him to remind us of while we're figuring out what to do about wages locally.
Thank you, Dooley.
Carol Chalk.
Yeah, it was an odd end of the year for me. I just want to take a few minutes to remember two fine community members whose lives ended way too early in their early 60s over the break. And one of those people was Richie Berg. People here may remember Video Ithaca. Here's a guy who's told us we needed to buy video players before I knew there was such a thing. Opened and ran three stores at their height. They had three branches. They never had a porn section. And then got out of the business, you know, before we knew there was going to be an internet and DVDs and Netflix. And also along the way served the city of Ithaca on the Common Council, the Board of Public Works, as a public servant, put years in there, bringing issues to the fore in local politics, including environmental issues, back in the 70s. The first time when we first started to realize that we needed to rein in our energy use, and then also along the way collected dozens and dozens and dozens of friends. He collected friends like you would, other people collect records or something, you know, but it, stamps. I'm trying to think of some analogy that would talk about how he didn't just find friends, but he reached out to us and nurtured us and cared for his friends, so that in this last year when he's been really sick, there was just a wonderful community of people around him, but it wasn't enough to defeat the cancer that ravaged his body. And he leaves a wife who's a committed member of our healing community and a 17-year-old daughter who's about to go off for college. So it's very hard. And then the other person Also, somebody who gave an awful lot to our community is Chris McConkie. He's the guy, for those who didn't know who he was, because he was mostly behind the camera, he's the guy that put all of those hours and hours and hours of discussion and informational sessions and rallies and some of our meetings about the anti-fracking questions that came up out online. Without him, we have a lot of smart people in this community and a lot of people who researched and were willing to come forward and talk about many aspects of that fight. But without him, most of us, maybe there's a couple of scientists at Cornell who would have had a national stage, but the rest of us would have been just folks on our soapbox, local folks on our soapboxes. And we would have been a legislature. The Tompkins County legislature, with our six resolutions we passed, would have been a, I think those first six, were they unanimous? Would have been a local legislature. And I still get calls, about every couple of months, I get a call from some county or some people in a county around the country wanting to know, what did you do back then? And I'm able to point to these tapes and just send them the links on whatever topic it is, the land valuation, the environmental stuff, Ed Marks's 18 ways in which municipalities can protect their own borders. So anyway, all of that, none of that would have been out there if it hadn't been for Chris. And he also lost a fight that had gone on for a while, and I saw him, a bunch of us saw him a few weeks before he died, and what did he talk about? I mean, he was, like, really, his body was ravaged, but what did he talk about? FDA policy about it made it difficult to get some drugs that he might have done him some good. So we remember both of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Anyone else? Okay, then let's move on. I don't have a formal report tonight, and I don't have any chair's appointments. We'll move to their county administrator's report. Joe Mariana.
Thank you, Mike, and Happy New Year to everyone, and congratulations to Mike and Dan. I look forward to working with both of you and all of you on a broad and ambitious agenda for next year. I have just three items on my list tonight, and the third will be to ask you for confirmation of an appointment. So I will go into that after I just post you on a couple of other things. And as you know, in terms of the confirmation, I will offer you at some point in my overview an opportunity to go into executive session if you'd like, if you want to talk about this personnel matter, and then bring it back or ask for a motion of confirmation at the end of that. So let me just update you on one item that's by now old news but still good news. We advised you last week that the state finally approved our government efficiency plan after a great deal of discussion with the states. And I have to tell you, because you know there have been times when we have been pretty candid about issues that we have with the state, and I will tell you that when we finally got the state's attention and had staff people talk to us in person instead of by email, we found them to be constructive, positive, and very helpful to us to figure out a way to perfect our plan and get it approved. With that, I think you know that it means that most homeowners in Tompkins County will be eligible for a state rebate check in the amount of the increase in their 2016 county property taxes. If your memory is good, you recall that on average that's only $12.89. But still, it's a little bit of help at a time when a little bit of help is important. You also recall that we were among a very few communities in the state that took a countywide approach to the plan. So in having the state approve our plan last week, it also meant that all of the municipalities within the county also had a plan approved. So many of them, all of them who brought their own budgets in within their own tax caps, will also have their homeowners eligible for a rebate of their increase in 2016 property taxes. So it was good news from the state. As I said in my note to you, Credit to Mike Lane, who gave us some ideas that really helped engage the state bureaucracy in a productive conversation with us. Also, the city was with us all along in trying to reshape our submission to satisfy the state. So I'm pleased that it's a very long process finally ended well. Much shorter updates. We've been talking about the Energize New York kickoff. It's this week. So it has finally arrived. It'll be Thursday evening. It begins at 5:30. It will be at the space at Green Star. It will be over by 7 o'clock. And I'm hopeful you and others will attend. I think this is a big moment in terms of what we can do on the energy front to work with property owners of existing properties that want to make energy-related improvements. So, again, 5:30 to 7 at the space at Green Star right down the street. So the last item on my... in my report is to ask for your confirmation of an appointment of a new supervising attorney for our assigned counsel office. All of you know that back in September, we lost Wes McDermott, who was a well-regarded supervising attorney who served this county very well and who left very large shoes to fill. Tonight completes the search process to find a worthy successor to Wes, and I believe that you will agree that we have found one. I will tell you, too, that this appointment is a little more complicated than most. As we've learned, none are that straightforward. This one is a little more complicated than most in that the ABIR, which is the Advisory Board on Indigent Representation, has a very large role in this process. Must recommend the selection to me as part of the appointment process, and then must confirm the appointment before it comes to you for your confirmation. And the ABIR has done both of those things. So that part of the process has been completed, expedited by the fact that the search committee that was put together for the process included four members of ABIR, practicing attorneys in town, four members of ABIR, in addition to Martha Robertson, who is your liaison to the ABIR, and me. We were all involved in the search process and with the search committee, a great group. We received applications from four truly excellent candidates. It's a very difficult choice. We had great candidates. All four were interviewed by the committee, and from that process, a consensus emerged around local attorney Lance Salisbury. I've shared Lance's resume with you, so you know he holds two master's degrees, one in regional planning from Cornell, the other in geography from Iowa. He's also a graduate of the Cornell Law School. His experience is remarkable. It includes, in addition to Iowa City, Iowa, places like Bosnia, Herzegovina, Liberia, and Somalia, where he engaged in relief work and in efforts to restore and reconstruct civil society. In Bosnia, he developed and managed a legal aid program that had 10 offices, 30 lawyers, and 30,000 clients. More recently, he's run a law office in Tompkins County and has been on our assigned counsel panel. He's also an adjunct professor of law at Cornell University, where he designed and teaches the criminal defense clinic class. So with that, with his background, I'll ask if anyone would like to adjourn to executive session to talk about this candidate.
Does anyone need an executive session?
And if not, I would ask for a motion to confirm Lance Salisbury as the supervising attorney for our assigned counsel office.
I have a motion from Jim Dennis and a second from Carol Chalk. Discussion? Dooley?
Is this an appointment without end, or is it for a term?
There is no term.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion to appoint, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Lance is here. Shall we bring him up? Right up here. Welcome and congratulations, Lance.
Thank you.
Mike. Pleased to have you aboard. You're welcome to say anything you'd like to.
Just very briefly, I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity you've given me to continue this program. I think, as Joe said, Wes left enormous shoes to fill, and so it's going to be a battle to do that. But I know Tompkins County has always had the assigned counsel program here has always had an excellent reputation in the state as one of the top programs of indigent representation. And I know with the opportunity you've given me, speaking with Julia Hughes, we see this as an opportunity with the changes going on here to try to continue that. I think we both realize you continue that excellent tradition by trying to build, improve, rather than just stand still. So I really welcome the opportunity that you've given me, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything else, Joe?
That's my report. Thank you.
Before we let go off of Joe's report, I just want to say that Joe doesn't blow his horn very much when it comes to this report the state has now accepted, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the people of Tompkins County. When we were dropped this bomb by the state of New York that said, oh, yeah, you can get keep your tax levy under the cap and you'll get your rebate. But this year we want you to show this 1% decrease through consolidation efforts going back to all of 2012. We at the county, other municipalities, and certainly our partners at TCOG were, I think, the emotions range from just total amazement to anger over this that was done to us because we had done so much over the years. But Joe Mariana took up the mantle of this and came up with an idea that said, let's put together a plan for the whole county. And did that, did the work on it, did the legwork on it, and got it approved by the municipalities, got it approved by our county, submitted it. They didn't like it so well, and as he said, it was one of the few. We were one of the few counties that did this. But the fact that we joined together to do that is just one more example of the consolidation effort that we do in Tompkins County and have done for years. When things were looking kind of dim, when we weren't on that approved list, Joe still took the initiative to go to the state and talk with them and spoke with them and got to the people that made a difference at the state budget office and came up with some new information for them that we were able to supply, and we got this approved. So, we thank you for that.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's go to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
I do not have a report.
John, you do a good job, too. Thank you. Our finance director is Rick Snyder.
I'd like to present tonight the November sales tax report. If you turn to page 5 in your agenda, we're looking at 11 months counted at this point for the end of November 2015. If you look towards the midsection of your report, under the county allocation, the county's portion of sales tax for November was down 2.33% compared to last year. So if you remember, we've had a few months in the beginning of the year where we had decreases followed by quite a few sustainable months in the summer, fall, where we had increases over the previous year. But in November, it was not a good month for us, and we were down 2.33%. If you look over to the year-to-date columns, we have a little bit better news as we seem to be catching up, but there is yet one more month to go. As of the end of November, year-to-date distributions for the county's portion total $30,002,556, and that compares to $30,334,097. So at this point, it still represents a decrease of $331,541 year over year, or a negative 1.09%. So we're just lagging behind last year by 1%. Pretty consistent with my report in the last couple of months. We're still facing one more month of returns. I should have those figures in within the next week. And if we have anything like we had close to last year for December, it was a record-breaking month in December of last year. We should end up in pretty good status at year end. But we'll be reporting that to you in the next couple of weeks when I get those distributions allocated, and hopefully we'll be pretty close to what our budget was. And that's all I have for this evening.
Questions for Rick? Thank you, Rick. We are on pins and needles till our next report.
That's right.
Let's see if we can take care of some of the matters for staff that are here. Julie, we've got some folks from planning here that would like to have your resolutions out of the planning department.
The ones not on consent, you mean?
Yes. I think we're looking at H.
Yes.
And I.
Wait.
And J.
I'll move Resolution H, document ID 6901, authorizing increase in disbursement of housing fund round 9 award for 210 Hancock Street. I move it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Leslie, McBean Claiborne. Discussion. Carol?
Well, I'm ready to divorce this guy so that I can vote for affordable housing, but I think I have to recuse myself from all three of these resolutions. Thank you. With your permission.
We really don't want you to have to do a divorce. Certainly you can recuse yourself. Ready to vote on this one? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have one abstention.
And Resolution I, document 6042. Authorizing continuation of the Tompkins County Homeownership Program through use of program income funds, and to contract with INHS. And I'll move that.
Second, Dave McKenna. Discussion? Carol, you'll abstain on this one as well?
Yeah, I said all three.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's actually a question for Jonathan.
Go ahead.
Is this something that I should also abstain from?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, ready to vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? Unanimous with one abstention. Let's go to J.
Resolution J, document 6061. Acceptance of New York State Homes and Community Renewal's Office of Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant. Homeownership. XI, that's 11. And we acted on that today at our planning committee meeting. Move it.
Who's our second? Seconded by Dave McKenna. Discussion? Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? One abstention. Okay. Thanks, folks, for coming tonight and being here for us. Let's go to Dave McKenna's committee, Facilities and Infrastructure. Dave, could you move Resolution F? I see we have our library director, Susan Curry, here waiting for that.
Certainly. So I'd like to move Resolution F, ID 5959, authorizing an amendment to the 2016 to 2020 capital program to undertake renovations to the Tompkins County Public Library. And it's been approved by just about everybody but us, so moved.
Moved by Dave, seconded by Glenn. Discussion. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. We're working together great tonight. I think our undersheriff, Brian Robinson, is here, no doubt, for the resolution L out of public safety. Jim Dennis, could you move that one?
I will, Mike, and I will be moving the appropriation from the contingent fund purchase of body cameras and related services, and it was the suggested changes submitted by Legislator Dooley Kiefer, and I will move that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. Discussion? This is the body cameras. Ready to vote? Those in favor?
Wait, what did we just move?
Wait a minute. We've got to have a short roll call. Carol, you wanted to ask a question?
This is the body camera resolution?
Yes.
Yeah, I do want to say something. Let me just get it up here. I'm glad that we're doing this. I think, you know, the community comes to us with all kinds of concerns, and this is something that we can join with those nationally who are trying to respond to those concerns, and I think it's important we're doing it. It's a significant step, and I support the purchase of these cameras, although there are elements of the implementation that I hope that we continue to watch carefully and reevaluate as time goes by. So, you know, right now we're deciding to buy the cameras, but under certain terms, in terms of how long we keep the tape and who, how and when you have access to it. And so that's something, that's policy that, will, you know, people will have to keep looking at. I just want to say a word about the importance of recognizing that body cameras are only a tool, and that like any tool, they're only as productive in the as the ways in which we use them. So, I don't think that tools substitute, or physical tools like this, substitute for the most important tools, which are the verbal and the nonverbal communication, education, training, so that we end up with fewer moments in which we need to use the cameras rather than more moments when we have to turn to those cameras. So I do support them, but and I appreciate the care with which our Sheriff's Department worked with us at the committee and worked with the city to coordinate so that we'd have tools that work together. So thank you. Thank you to Brian.
Thank you, Carol. Anyone else? Dooley?
Yes. I don't know who will be negotiating the contract or what the terms of the contract will be with Taser Corporation, but I do know that all technology changes more quickly than I wish it did, and body cameras and evidence, videotape evidence, would be included in that. So I hope the county retains the ability to change its choice of technology if there are improvements that would serve us even better. So I hope the contract is not a terribly long contract, I guess, or that it have sufficient ability for us to change if we decide that that's an important thing. I guess that's a message to Joe. I don't know, but that's a concern I have. But I support this also.
Jim Dennis.
Dooley, that was a question that we asked at the committee meeting prior to this meeting to the undersheriff and county administrator. And it is clear to me now that whatever makes it to the cloud, if we change to another company 5 years from now or 4 years from now, a better one, that information will be available to any new operation that we have. And I believe Brian came here prepared to talk about that, but it I'm pretty satisfied, and I think the members of the committee were, that, you know, we have this now. This is the best available to us, and we will use it to the best of our ability, the law enforcement people. And if we can, if we see down the road a better product, then clearly we're, you know, the county will look to do that.
So. Okay, ready to vote? Short form roll call, please.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Any noes? That's unanimous. Brian, always nice to see you. Thanks for coming over tonight. No one else waiting, is there? Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda tonight? Not seeing any? Let's go to the consent agenda. We have some advisory board appointments. Out of Government Operations Committee to the Public Information Advisory Board, Pat Pryor and Larry Roberts. To the Ethics Advisory Board, Dennis Reagan. Out of Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee to the Planning Advisory Board, Monica Roth. Out of the Public Safety Committee to the Family Court Advisory Council, Jardine Gallucci, Kimberly A. Klimowitz. To the Emergency Communications Review and Oversight Committee, Kelly A. Daly. To the Traffic Safety Committee, Kenneth Lansing and Jeffrey Smith. To the Stop DWI Advisory Board, Malik Snyder McGee. From municipal appointments, we have to the Environmental Management Council, Linda Spielman for the Village of Dryden. And the Youth Services Board, we have Sarah E. Wolf for the City of Ithaca representative. Out of Government Operations Committee, we have Resolution A. If anyone wants to talk about any of these resolutions, just ask for it to be off. Resolution A, ID 6028, to amend Resolution Number 2015-30 of March 3, 2015, determination and certification of county clerk's allowance, annual expenses of administering mortgage tax. Resolution B, ID 6038, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax refunds and credits of $2,500 and under. Resolution C, ID 6049, budget adjustment to transfer funds from vehicle purchase line to senior valuation specialist line for increased personnel costs. There are some proposed changes in that one in your packet. If anyone has any objections to that, we'll pull it off. Out of Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Resolution D, ID 6039, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax and solid waste fee refunds under $500. Out of Planning, Energy, and Economic Development Committee, acceptance of snowmobile trail grant. That's the ID 6043. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Julie Kiefer, seconded by Carol Chalk. Any discussion? All those in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Those opposed, that is passed unanimously. Let's go to standing committee reports. We start out with Dave McKenna with facilities and infrastructure.
F&I has not met since our last meeting. We will meet Monday afternoon at 3:30 in these chambers.
Questions for Dave?
That Monday was canceled.
Committee's meeting. Did that meeting get canceled?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It did get canceled. I forgot all about it.
Okay. All right. So is it going to be rescheduled, or what's going to happen with that?
The meeting will only be rescheduled before the next ledge meeting if something comes up in the interim.
Gotcha.
As for now, there's no agenda for the meeting of any kind.
All right. Vice Chair Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank is the vice chair.
The committee has not met, but we will be meeting on the 12th, which is a Tuesday, and that concludes my report.
Questions for Will? Okay. Let's go to Government Operations Committee. Dan Klein is the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to start by moving Resolution G, establishing the 2016 meeting dates.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna Kellis. Discussion? Carol?
So I'm fine with all the dates. I just want to be clear. So November 8th is election. Usually we change the November meeting, but November 8th is election day, so we're not changing our first meeting in
November
this year.
November 1st is election.
Is what?
November 1st is election day.
It's election day.
And that's the first Tuesday, yes.
So, well, then it may be an issue then.
I think the way that election day falls, we did not have to change our regular meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. And then I'm fine with all the other dates and what we're doing there. I have a question about the note. It's on the back, so there's a lot of blank at the bottom of the page and then a note on the back. And I had been the one quite a number of years ago who pushed to have these tentative dates for the budget retreat and the hearing on the budget set at this point, or you know, at some point well enough in advance. But I think that we usually do a doodle poll or a meeting maker poll first before we set them. So I'm concerned that we haven't done that yet, but once you put something in writing, it just tends to get cast in stone. So,
Jim Dennis, can you speak to that?
I prefer to just strike the note.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we establish the date, and then as it becomes nearer, then we send out emails to find out when people are available. This particular date, it will not be moved backward. It could change a couple of days in that week, but I hope you all remember, as long as we've been doing this, we've never had a full house for the meeting. So if we have 14 people and we get 12, then I would view that as a supermajority, and or whoever chairs the committee, and I'm guessing that the meeting would go on.
Julie?
Jim, it was my understanding that what we're voting on is the regular meeting dates, not on the suggested dates that are on page 2 or the back. But that's not part of what we're voting on now.
I am not on the Government Operations Committee, so whatever you do is what you do.
Dan, you want to clarify?
That is my understanding as well.
So the note is not part of the resolution?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Ready? Now, Rich? Rich John?
I'm still behind the curve here. On November 1st is Election Day, and we have
November 8th is Election Day. November 1st is our meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought Kathy said it was first Tuesday was Election Day.
We just double-checked the calendar.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Okay, ready to vote on the meeting dates? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. Dan, do you have a report?
I do. So the Government Operations Committee met on December 22nd. We talked about the drone issue again, and it was pretty clear that there was not consensus about what should be in that drone law or even if we do need a drone law. So we, took no action, and it's unclear whether this issue is going to come back to us or not, so stand by. We went into executive session to hear the current assessment of the Biggs parcel. It was decided that we were not going to make this information public at this time. The idea behind this is that having that information public could negatively affect the outcome for the county in a real estate transaction. And I think it's worth mentioning that there are just a few exemptions in New York State law for the open meetings law and also for the freedom of information law, and potential real estate transactions is one of them for that very reason. We haven't received an offer, any proposals from the Indian Creek Neighborhood Association, and we've given them a date of January 15th to hear something from them by, at which point we may proceed with putting this piece of land on the open market. We had a report from Tammy Baker, the community outreach worker. She works with Family and Children Services. You might recall that this is a program that we funded jointly with the City of Ithaca and the Downtown Ithaca Alliance. The position started about 6 months ago. The idea is that there's a social worker on the ground in downtown Ithaca dealing with people that need some assistance in various ways and also answering calls from the public of people that need assistance and dealing with people that need assistance. So she gave us a presentation that was excellent. I have copies of it if anybody wants it. I also have a copy of their quarterly report if anybody would like it. I believe that this position is operating exactly how we envisioned it when we created it, and I think that the members of the committee were very impressed with what they heard from the presentation. We also got a presentation from Scott Doyle from the County Planning Department about county-owned lands, the inventory of county-owned lands, and I also have a copy of that if anybody wants to see it. And that is my report.
Thanks, Dan. Questions? If you want a copy of that report, you should let Dan know about it. Let's go to Planning Committee, Planning and Environmental Quality Committee. Dooley Kiefer is the chair.
Thank you. We've already dealt with all our resolutions, and the next meeting is scheduled for the third Wednesday of the month at 3 o'clock, at which time I'm hopeful that some representative, or plural, from DEC will be in attendance. I am waiting to receive questions from committee members or legislators, items that they would like DEC to be prepared to address, and I've gotten nothing formal. We talked about some at our committee meeting, but I'm waiting for written input, and I hope that people will get something to me as soon as possible if they have any questions.
Ready for questions? Carol?
So, Dooley, the questions that we talked about in committee, will those
well, they're not,
get a copy
they're not,
of that?
They're not formulated in any good way, but they will be in our minutes, and I will have that to work from.
Okay. I guess I assumed that those that we talked about and phrased in committee that we didn't need to also write those separately.
There were topics raised, but not in the form of specific questions. So I want to give everyone a chance to formulate questions that they really want answered, not just please address this topic. So that's why I'm asking again tonight.
Anyone else? Anna?
Are there specific topics that they're hoping we focus on, or is this open to DEC actions in general for the coming year?
Well, what we have focused on is any potential environmental or human health problems arising from the legacy coal ash pile at what used to be Milliken Station, what's now Cayuga Operating Company's plant.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
That's what they would like us to focus on.
No, that's what the committee was asked to focus on by the public, and that's what we have been focusing on.
Mm-hmm. But this is an opportunity for us to ask the DEC about any of their actions in this area. Is that correct?
Related to the plant and the coal ash pile, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Charter Review Committee, we meet again tomorrow, right? At 3 p.m. here in chambers. We'll be discussing the public works provisions of the charter that have been changed. Any questions? Let's go to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis is the chair.
Thank you, Michael. If I could, I'd like to make an observation here. about the way this meeting has progressed. It's my sense now that we should elect a chair every week that we're here, and it improves everyone's behavior all the time. And, you know, Mike, just keep your name in there, and we'll keep doing this, and we'll do it every 2 weeks. At any rate, I have one item on the agenda, and it is authorization to participate in various contracts let by any government entity of the United States of America, and I am moving forward the item with the changes by Legislator Dooley Kiefer, and I will move that.
Glenn Morey is seconded. Is there discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous.
That concludes my report.
Any questions for Jim? Well, the Library Committee has not met. Public Safety Committee, Jim Dennis, back to you.
Thank you. We passed on our item on the body cams. The Budget Committee moved that, and so that and Government Operations or whoever had it, and that is now law. And let me just make one comment about the ban the box. We had one meeting of the ad hoc committee that I put together, and we have asked personnel to investigate what the impact would be of banning the box, because we have many customers besides just us. We have school districts, we have villages and towns who we do the civil service for. City of Ithaca past theirs, they're pretty much isolated in themselves. So we have to be alert to what the impact is on outlying areas. And Amy has and Steve have we've asked them to take a look at all this and what the impact would be, and we will have something in February to deal with one way or another.
Any questions?
Is that microphone on? Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Leslie McBean Claiborne chairs our Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
Is this where I get to chant, ban the box? Ban. Oh, no. All right. I give
up. We
are guests. I give up. January 27th is the next meeting date of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, 3:30, Old Jail Conference Room.
Questions for Leslin? Let's go to the Health and Human Services Committee. Peter Stein is the chair.
Hard to believe, but we haven't met since the last time I gave this report. But we're going to meet this Thursday at 3:30.
Questions for Peter? Jim, I kind of agree with your comment.
Well, maybe it's Martha's fault all these years. I don't know. I hope she's watching.
Let's argue about the minutes. Someone want to move them?
Move.
Glenn Morey, seconded by Leslin. Newley.
I think you all have in your folders some proposed amendments for the minutes. Most of them deal with the privilege of the floor, where we had such an outpouring of heartfelt commentary that I was concerned that it be accurately reflected, which is tricky to do sometimes. And the first change on the page is actually Legislator Chalk's change. All the rest were ones I put in. And I hope you've had a chance to look at them and see that they reflect your recollections also. So I'd like to move these as a package.
It's been moved by Dooley. Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Jim Dennis?
Dooley, I'm going to do you a huge favor in 2016, and I will vote for this time.
So. I'm sorry, but I have to ask. Part of the reason we made changes to our minutes policy three or four years ago was because of efforts to change the comments of other people. And we came up with a procedure that said if there's changes like this, then they should be added to the notes that are taken at each meeting rather than to be made as changes to mostly what is action minutes that we do. So I don't know what the others, how the others feel about that, but I'm going to vote against this for that reason. I think these are very, should be added to the notes. I think they're very appropriately added there.
Well, most people think of our minutes as the official record, and because the public spoke out, as I said, with such heartfelt sincerity, it seemed reasonable to me to record these in the minutes, and that's why I've done this.
Peter?
I'm going to vote against it because it just seems to me to be the wrong way to take minutes. Minutes are supposed to be a record and, of what happened in the meeting. And when we have some professionals that do it, of course they make mistakes. That means that there are be a small number of mistakes. But when we do something like this, if I vote for it, I have no idea why I'm voting, simply because one member of the group decided that it should be changed. And I just think that's all the times that I was at Cornell and looked through minutes, we kept minutes of faculty meetings. It wasn't done that way. We had someone that was doing it. He was supposed to be impartial and did the best job they could in reporting it. So I'm going to vote against it. I think that was what we decided to do in the minutes policy that was passed a couple of years ago.
Anna Kellis, then Carol Chalk.
I also think that this was a really important meeting, and there was a tremendous turnout with a lot of intention, and I appreciated it. I think that because they're speaking to us directly as the legislators, it's our responsibility to listen and understand and comprehend what they're saying, and many of us took notes, and I've reviewed what Dooley wrote, and appreciate the amendments because I do think that they add value to these notes, and because of that, I think it's very important to include them as part of the actions that were taken during that meeting, so I'm in support of it.
Carol?
Yeah, so my understanding is that our own minutes policy, you know, each body has their own minutes policy. Cornell has its, and we have ours, and ours says that that our own words, unless somebody specifically requests to have comments inserted into the minutes, that are on our, for our own activities, it's basically the action only, but that we specifically included in our policy that comments of the public would be in our minutes so that they would know that we heard them. I think that if these don't pass now, I think we could go through item by item and argue about, was this the essence of what one person said or another person? But I'm not sure it's worth our time here. I appreciated Dooley's effort in catching some specific mistakes, because there are always, there can be mistakes when you listen to a transcript and try to take notes, and there are some others that I know staff, when I called today, accepted as what we called manifest changes, where, you know, it's just a word that was heard wrong in the typing, like client change instead of climate change. That's clearly a correction, as is if you look on what you have in front of you, the year 2050 instead of 50%. That's a content change. And then there were some other people where it just felt like the main point that they were trying to make, you know, just somehow, because it was a lot of people speaking, didn't make it in here. And so if people feel the need to have staff go back, at our request and listen again and say, you know, did you get the main point there? I'm happy to do that and not pass them tonight and ask them to do that. I'd rather personally have them doing other things. So the fact that, Dooley and I caught some, you know, it seems to me let's not spend a lot of time. And thank you, Jim, for your participation in that. Other than that, I would appreciate it if in the future, when people give us specific suggestions for actions we might take, there was one resident, it was Sarah Hess's comments. She's literally read out a number of steps the legislature could take to look out for youth. That's, to me, the kind of thing that in the future, if we could emphasize in here that we should, that's the kind of thing that shouldn't be left out, but I didn't reach her today. So I'm in support of these rather than go through them one by one. I'd accept them as a group, but if people vote them down, I'm going to bring back some of them one by one.
On the amendment, Jim?
I want to call the question.
Okay, what question is being called on the amendment that Dooley has proposed? Is there a second to calling the question? Seconded by Mike Sigler. All those in favor calling the question, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have two opposed. So we'll go proceed to the question. The question is on the amendment as proposed by Dooley Kiefer, which are the sheet in our packet of the proposed amendments to the minutes. All those in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who did I miss?
You missed me. And I made a promise to vote for Dooley one time only, and I will support her resolution. This is very much like when you go buy a car and the guy says, oh, I have to go talk to my boss, and I'll get back to you. It's a one-time offer.
So it's 7 in favor, 6 against. Needs 8 votes to pass, so the amendment fails. Let's go to Carol next.
Can I ask that these get tabled, postponed? What's the right word? That we ask staff to look over? And what I want to ask is that staff go through these with the tape and see which ones are actual corrections and where they can, you know, themselves come to whether the first iteration missed the essence of what somebody said.
So what are you moving?
Is it correct to, Kathy, am I asking to table or postpone?
The table lays it on the table indefinitely till it's brought up by resolution. Postpone brings it up automatically at a later date.
Okay, I'd like to ask staff to have another go at it and bring it back to us when they feel ready.
Well, you're...
So what do I need to do to make that happen?
I think you probably want to postpone the minutes for until the next meeting. I think that's what you're asking to do.
Yes,
whether
that's
the group
fine.
Wants to do that or not, I don't know. So you're moving to postpone the consideration of these minutes until our next meeting.
And further asking that staff go through them themselves so that it's coming from them.
Seconded by Peter?
No, I'm just...
Is there a second to the motion to postpone? Seconded by Dooley. Any discussion on the motion to postpone? Peter?
Well, I've never heard of that happening when a body votes on something and then after the vote, somebody moves to table it.
We didn't vote on the minutes.
I thought we did vote on the minutes.
We voted on a proposed amendment to the minutes.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. So all those in favor of postponing these to the next meeting, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those opposed? 7. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7-6. Fails to have 8 votes, so that's not postponed. Go to Dooley next.
All right. I'm going to ask you, please, to look at the bottom one on the page, Jonathan Comstock. The way this read originally, it said he led the Solar Tompkins program. What he actually said was he was one of the people who led Solar Tompkins, and now he was doing the same with Heat Smart Tompkins. So that's a different thing. And it's to me, that is an error. He did not attribute the leadership to himself alone. And I think that needs to be corrected. I think he would be embarrassed by it.
So what are you doing at this point?
So I'm moving the first portion of the correction so that he is not misrepresented in the minutes.
Second.
Okay, so you're moving to that. You're moving that portion of your on your page at the bottom. Is there a second? Seconded by Carol.
But is it friendly to the mover and seconder of the minutes? Who moved the minutes?
I'm not going to ask that
anymore.
Who moved the minutes?
Ben did. I seconded. It's
Glenn. Glenn moved it. And is it friendly to you? Is it friendly to the seconder?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it's accepted as friendly. Rich John.
Mike, could you just help explain what is the legislature's policy again? That if we do not adopt these proposed changes, they'll go into the notes?
We have basically two sets of things. The official minutes are mostly action-only minutes. Other things can be added to them at the request of legislators, like their personal comments or other things when they request it. The general running narrative of what happens at the meeting is kept in what are called notes. And the procedure would be, the notes are prepared. If someone wants to put forth a correction to those notes, they can submit a correction which will then be attached to the notes and become a part of that record. But it's not a part of the official minutes of the body. Did I get that right, Kathy?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think Mike Sigler had his hand up.
I just wanted to move adding these to the notes.
I'm sorry?
Can I just move to add these to the notes? I mean, isn't that our policy anyway?
That's not how you do it. You have to send it in.
Right. No, I don't think you. I just think it would. If Dooley wants to add it to the notes, she can do that.
Okay.
Who else wants to speak? Dooley?
I wanted to clarify for Rich and Anna that to the extent that the only thing that this legislature approves is action items, there is no way, should there ever be a lawsuit brought, to discern the intent of the legislature in taking certain actions. That's a shortcoming of the way the minutes are now handled. You will notice that I often vote against the minutes because in my view they are incomplete and do not serve the county well should there ever be a legal question that arises about intent. I just wanted to explain why I fuss about minutes. This kind of fussing is because I value the public's participation, and it embarrasses me to think that we are misrepresenting what they took time to present to us. And I'm going to now try to make a change in the second paragraph that deals with Dave Bradley, Town of Dryden resident. I will read what it said without my corrections. Spoke in support of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and green energy being associated with poor economic performance. Now, that is not his opinion. He is, on the contrary, believes green energy is good for the economy. And that's the change I tried to convey by the change that I noted. He noted that green energy is being associated with poor economic performance, whereas green energy is good for the economy. That was the thrust of what he said. The short way it was put in the minutes did not convey that. So that's clear correction in my view.
So what are you doing? Are you
I'm moving that as a separate amendment, and I really don't want to sit here and do this for all of these, but I'm doing two of them as by way of example.
Is there a second for that amendment by Carol? Discussion on that amendment.
Well, is it friendly to the mover and the seconder?
It's fine.
Okay.
Okay, that's friendly. Then that gets added to the main motion, then. The minutes. Carol?
So a couple of things. So staff, did you accept my manifest change that it's climate change rather than client change?
I'm seeing a yes.
That included
yes.
There?
Not
okay.
Up here.
And the change that... where Victor Tiffany, the minutes had Congressman Tom Reed opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership and continuing to push for TPP-free zones. And my understanding was that Congressman Tom Reed is going to oppose, well, at least Victor Tiffany said that Tom Reed is going to oppose the TPP, and Mr. Tiffany will continue to push TPP-free zones. I have no idea if Mr. Reed is doing that or not, and I don't know that I don't think I heard Victor Tiffany tell us that Mr. Reed was doing that. But again,
so
I'm happy.
Are you
to
proposing
have...
something?
Yeah. So did
she
that
says
was
she accepted that?
Okay.
Those were accepted.
And then what Dooley here has here on the third part of the Kay Wagner's remarks, where it was corrected from 50% to the year 2050, can that be accepted as a manifest change? Tompkins County, Ms. Wagner, it said in our with the current. Well,
there's no objection.
Okay.
We'll do that as a manifest change. Can we go to a vote?
It is. I had one other. So I was amazed. I thought I knew everything there was to know about what people are saying about climate change, but I was just amazed that that Bob Haworth came back from Paris, where he'd been a delegate, and came in here and said that the people he talked to there had said that we had the next 12 years, that if we don't start acting in 12 years, that we would ensue a widespread coastal displacement and many deaths. And to me, that 12-year figure was a really new thing. So that was why the very first one at the top here.
Girl, please
so
tell
I'd
us
like
what
to,
you want to change.
I'd like to add that sentence as it is up here under what Dooley presented here.
Is there a second
we have
that
only
amendment?
The next 12 years.
Senator Biana. Discussion on the amendment.
Is that friendly? No, that's not friendly. Okay, so this is the one that I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but I asked the staff.
All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That fails. Ready to vote on the minutes with the two changes which were accepted as friendly and the manifest error corrections. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm sorry. I switched. I wanted to vote against it. So.
All right. So it's 8 to 5. That the minutes pass. Do we have the five no's again? We didn't get them up here at the clerk's desk. So Will, Anna,
Peter,
and Dooley. Okay, Carol. All right. Any unfinished business? Is there a motion to adjourn? Anna, seconded by Peter. All in favor of adjourning? Any opposed? Thank you all for our first meeting. We did pretty good.